Well, I'm amazed that Parramatta have taken him back. For Jared, I think it's just a miracle.
It's kind of like, you know, in The Lion King, when Simba comes back, and that's great for everyone. But in this case, it's more like Scar coming back.
Yeah,
it's like
right.
a fucked up Hamlet. Cameron Smith should be made to wear, I don't know, a really heavy headgear just to bring him back to the field.
Paul Gallen's another year older. He's now 87.
There's so few enjoyable moments quite like watching a player you've never liked go downhill.
Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Voluntary Tackle, the only NRL podcast that hasn't agreed to play for the Roosters on a reduced contract. Chip Jones is away this show, sorting out some criminal charges in Chile. So in the meantime, we're joined by Xander Rosotto. How are you doing, Xander?
I'm well, thanks, Eamon. Thanks for having me on this week.
It's a pleasure, mate. In fact, if you didn't cost so much, I'd probably have you here more often. You have a lofty pay packet.
Well, I'm in high demand. I was just spending a week in Florida speaking to schools about gun safety.
Okay, so you're quite an eclectic chap.
This is true. Gun safety and rugby league.
Well, that's a classic merger, especially in Belmore. So for our first segment today, we'll be discussing one Josh Dugan. Now, Josh recently got into trouble, for those who aren't aware of this. He was having a few drinks and a quiet punt down at the Cronulla RSL Club when all hell broke loose. And he's been heavily criticised for it, but not by one Xander Rosotto. Why is that, Xander?
Yeah, look, I think people misunderstand Josh, frankly. I think that what he's actually been doing with a lot of his incidents is he's been raising awareness for some of the broader problems that afflict society.
So this is done with intent.
Yeah, you know, it's awareness raising.
So Xander, essentially what you're saying here is his entire life, Josh Dugan, people thinking he's a tosser, all that's actually wrong. He's been trying to demonstrate to people how not to live your life.
Yeah, look, Eamon, as you know, I like to assume the best in people. And I just think that he's sending us a sophisticated message about the poisons of gambling in society.
Mm. And so he's obviously been doing this campaign for quite some time because as long as the public have known Josh Dugan, he's always been a dickhead.
I think he needs to be commended. I mean, like his other incidents mostly involve alcohol. He is highlighting the problems with alcohol.
Okay.
He's doing this to himself for the public's benefit.
Well, I had no idea. I certainly owe Josh Dugan a major apology.
You shouldn't be so harsh on people, really.
Well, what is he demonstrating when he's on the field? So when he gets tackled and every third tackle he writhes on the floor in agony when there's nothing wrong with him, what's he trying to raise awareness for then?
It's a commentary on how the modern game of rugby league is slowly turning into soccer and how we need to fight against that.
Okay, so he's saying it needs to be a harder game.
Yeah.
Otherwise,
he's
people will act like a soft cock.
Everyone could end up playing like me and you don't want that. That's
okay.
What he's telling us.
Well, he's very method, isn't he? Because he'll often he'll go to the trouble of being stretched off sometimes. It's not like he's trying to make a point and then play on. He will go off for 20 minutes.
Again, a bit like his incident recently, you know, you got to take your hat off to his commitment.
Okay. Well, I mean, if this is all true, I owe him a major apology. How do you explain this, though, Xander? At the Cronulla RSL, when he was being escorted out, they said, you've got to go. And he said, don't you know who I fucking am? What's he trying to prove then?
Again, you know, you're missing the point, Eamon. He's
missing it.
He's trying to raise awareness for amnesia.
How so, mate?
He doesn't know who he is. He's asking...
Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. The Canberra Raiders, Xander, last year had a bit of a fizzer of a season. The year before that, probably should have won the premiership. Bit of a mixed bag. This year, the mail is several players have arrived back in camp considerably overweight. How do you think Ricky Stewart will react to that?
Look, I have seen it. You know, Ricky's a pretty harsh taskmaster, as I think we're all aware. He's just such a smart, accomplished coach, Ricky. I just assume there's got to be a ploy here. I'm thinking that he's going to have...
There's a strategy, do you?
Yeah. I think it's a defence ploy in that, you know, by having each player add 120 kilos of pure lard, that they can form a literal wall in defence from one sideline to the other.
No gaps.
Precisely.
Yeah, there'd be no gaps. That's
quite
smart. Well, what if someone chips over the top? And would they just... That could be a very awkward scene, couldn't it? Because then they'd try to run after the ball and the Canberra line of fat people would just stand there.
It's an interesting...
Bit of a stalemate.
It's, I mean, you know, I think it's worth trying, but again, they still have to run through and find a gap between those players to get to the ball. So all Canberra really has to do, if the tactics hold, is just hold.
Well, have you seen Josh Papali? I mean, there's fat, and then there's what he looks like now. I mean, he literally looks like he's ate himself several times. But you're saying this is all part of a plan.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense to me. It's classic Ricky Stewart thinking outside the box.
Okay.
You know,
bigger is better.
Yeah, yeah.
And I guess, you know, in a lot of ways, it does have its advantages. I mean, getting your roll on over the advantage line, for example. I mean, if you are 350 kilos, just physics dictates that you're definitely getting over that advantage line, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you know, and if you start that roll on, you can quite literally roll on.
You can. I mean, will players be crushed? That's the question. Will GI's knees, I mean, withstand that kind of obesity?
I hope not.
If you're listening, GI, I love you, mate. But I guess the other part of this that we're not even thinking about, Xander, is we know the NRL is a tough man's game and there's a lot of sledging. If you go out there with a team of fatties, it makes it a lot harder to be sledged in 2018, doesn't it? Because you can't yell at a fat person. You get looked down upon if you yell at fat people.
Do you?
Well, on Twitter you do.
Oh, right. Well, I still
do. They call it fat shaming, mate. So
I hadn't heard of fat shaming.
Because you're a bit of a body fascist yourself, aren't you?
Don't see it as being a body fascist. I'm just giving out health advice. Stop being a fat cunt, you know?
You say it with such sort of Lex Luthor-like delivery that makes it scarier. Are there any other advantages that occur to you, Xander, that, you know, having 13 men of quite rotund physique, how else could they utilise that body shape?
I also think that, you know, there's another angle that even if the defensive line is broken and a player, say, misses a tackle, dives, like they can literally just lie down and they'll provide speed humps.
That is very true. In fact, you're onto something there. Just lying in the ruck in general when you're a fatty, I mean, you're going to slow down that play the ball, aren't you? Because you literally, A, you're probably going to kill someone under there. But you're not going to be able to get up fast, even if, I mean, the referee couldn't expect you to.
Exactly. I think the referee might be accused of fat shaming if he tells the Canberra Raiders to try and get up.
I agree with you, Xander. I mean, will this plan blow up in Ricky Stewart's face, though? I mean, he is, as you said, a master tactician, and this is certainly thinking outside of the square. But, you know, if things don't go right on the field, and he has a team of, you know, very hungry, carnivorous fatties in the dressing room, and they don't like Ricky, and they don't like the lashing they're getting. Is there a chance he might get eaten?
We can only hope.
Now, here at the Voluntary Tackle, we like to break news, don't we, Xander?
We do.
Where we can. We like to be physically hurtful to the news, which is why it's very exciting. We've actually secured an exclusive interview with the player manager for Josh Duggan in light of his incident that happened at Cronulla RSL. This is Xander's interview with Mustafa Adjawati.
So is Josh feeling remorseful about his actions in the gaming room of the Cronulla RSL last week?
Absolutely, Xander. Look, let me make this really clear. Josh is gutted about this. He's very, very upset.
Feels he let the club down, does he?
No, he missed the feature on the pokies. It was up to 12K.
Josh has earned a reputation as a bit of a wild child, though. Do you think that's fair?
It's very, very unfair. Look, Josh is actually a very humble guy. If you got to know him, you would think the same.
Well, to be fair, we did try to get to know him. We actually asked him to join this podcast in person.
Yeah, he couldn't be fucked. Look, to be honest, he had a pretty big night on the piss last night. And look, you know, you're just a podcast. You're not exactly the grill team.
So you don't think Dugan's behaviour off the field has ever really been over the line then?
Never. You name a time Joshy has ever stepped over the line. It's a whole media beat up, mate.
So in your view, it was a completely acceptable for Josh to get pissed during Origin last year, do you?
Fergo was the one doing lines on her tits. All Josh did was lick them clean. I don't understand what's so bad about that.
Back to matters on the field, though, Mustafa. How do you think Josh will slot into the Sharks this year?
Josh is very excited to join the Sharks, Xander. You know, he's a real team player, Joshy. So, you know, he's just looking forward to getting some footy under his belt.
And you expect him to excel in the centres, do you?
Nah, he won't be playing the centres. He'll be playing number one. Or he walks. That's a deal breaker.
Isn't Holmes number one? Hasn't he made that his home this year?
Well, fuck Holmes. I don't even know who he is. Even as Josh. He's never mentioned Holmes. Number one is where he belongs. That's the only way he's going to prove to people that he's a real team player.
I think we'll have to leave it there. Thanks for your time.
Yeah, no worries.
Hey, mate, are we off here?
Sort of.
Look, do you know if there's any strip joints around here? Joshy can't go to any of the ones in the Shire. There's too much press.
We're back, and now we're discussing expansion, Xander, because this topic was brought up by one Peter Beattie, who's just been appointed, what is he, the chairman?
Chairman of the NRL,
The NRL,
Probably the ARLC, I think it is.
Oh, we could have done our research, but that's not what we're about. You know,
it's a rugby league-related Australian body.
Exactly, that's all we need to know. Former Queensland Premier, good bloke.
And also former candidate for Labor in the federal election when they were...
No one cares about that, mate. But, I mean, you're absolutely right, but we don't want to lose our listeners. But the point is, he had a press conference recently where he was selling the virtues of the NRL expanding into as many places as possible. Are there any, I guess, unusual areas or locations that the NRL haven't canvassed yet?
Yeah, I think the game does need to think out the box, outside the box a little bit. You know, obviously, everyone talks about Perth.
Do they?
Know. You know,
I thought people in Perth don't even talk about Perth.
Not as a tourist destination, but in terms of a rugby league expansion destination. You know, Perth, Adelaide, second Brisbane side, they get bandied about. And, you know, you can see the logic there from an Australian standpoint. But I look to sides like the Toronto Wolfpack and think, you know, we should be looking to do similar left field expansions here. But I think I would like to focus on the region. I'd like to see, you know, for instance, the Phuket Power added into the rugby league.
Okay.
Community. I also think that the much touted Ulaanbaatar Tarkans could really bring something special.
The streets of Mongolia.
Yeah, precisely.
What would a Mongolian person bring to the game of the NRL? What natural assets would a Mongolian have?
I think they'd be pretty good at the grapple, for one thing. But I also think that their tactics. The game does like a bit of an edge at the moment. I'd like to see a little bit more of a ruthless streak. And I think that you know, the old Mongolian strategy of decapitating your opposition's leader and throwing it over their defensive lines at them is probably the kind of thing that we need to bring back that hard edge to the game.
That's right. Well, John Hopewadi hasn't played in quite some time, and he has left that legacy. I find Mongolians, all I can think of are sort of fishmongers and people that know how to keep warm. They don't necessarily, to me, translate into the types of skills that you'd need in the NRL. Perhaps they'd play well in Canberra during the peak of winter.
I think you're thinking of, you know, about a very specific subset of Mongolia. I'm thinking more of their warrior heritage.
Okay, so you're going back in time to sort of the Genghis Khan types.
Precisely.
Yeah, well,
I think they're still there. You know, you can still find them on the steppe.
I hope not. He was a prolific rapist. Do you think Russia? I mean, Russia have been known. Moscow, I think, has played rugby league and they've had a team and those kind of things. Do you think potentially there should be a team just full of sort of Putin-esque type players? Willing to do what it takes, corruptibility, winning on the field through sheer online digital manipulation.
I feel like the NRL already receives enough doubt about the due process around the salary cap without having a bunch of Russian hackers coming in and then just suddenly, not even just tampering with the salary cap, but changing the order of the ladder.
Yeah,
you know?
How good would that be? They haven't won a game, suddenly they're second. or if they lose to a team, they go, fuck it, we'll just invade it.
Like, you know, you could imagine them not even being in the grand final and being awarded the trophy at the end of it.
It just happened. Mm. It just worked out that way.
Yeah, they just got more votes.
Well, on that topic of expansion, Xander, there was one country that put its name forward to host an Origin in 2020. An unlikely candidate, it's the country of Libya. And as part of their pitch, they put this song together.
People say we do way too much bombing. With Raqqa, we've got much in common. Gaddafi has torn us apart. People say to play footy here is madness. It will lead to sickening badness. Refs hanging from beams in the air. But I say, what about state of origin in Tripoli? The hits will be violent and weapons compulsory. Cam Smith will be frightened and the Blues fans will love it. And I say, what about letting Cam be shut? Like skateboarding, but then preferred waterboarding, and
how we want Origin. So what now? We want to host some rugby and drink beer like Aussies from a stubby and then marry a reluctant virgin. But I say, what about State of Origin in Tripoli? The hits will be violent and weapons compulsory. Kent Smith will be frightened and the Blues fans will love it. And I say, what about letting Cam be shot?
Laurie Daly, he hasn't been in the headlines for a while, for good reason. His tenure as State of Origin coach wasn't amazing. But he's turned up again because he's just recently been employed. I don't know if you've caught this story at all, but the Newcastle Knights, they're in a rebuilding phase, and they've actually appointed Laurie Daly as their halves mentor. My question to you, Xander, is haven't the Knights suffered enough?
No, they haven't. No, I think that this is an interesting decision to appoint Laurie Daly the mentor. I'm trying to think of the logic behind it. The only angle I can think of is, they want to pair Mitchell Pearce with somebody who's been as disappointing a coach as Mitchell Pearce has been a player.
Well, this is dangerous though, Xander, because quite literally that pairing have been paired at State of Origin level for quite some years. And if, in case no one's aware of this, the record's not great.
Yeah, but there's a difference there in that he was the head coach. He wasn't his mentor specifically. Laurie was clearly too busy telling the forwards what to do.
Busy trying to keep Dugan out of jail.
And not devising a game plan for the halves or the backs at all.
Yeah.
So this time he'll be able to focus all of his attention, and he'll also just be able to make Mitchell Pearce feel better just simply by being with somebody who is potentially even more disappointing than he is.
So it's more like an AA meeting or something, that when you get two or a bunch of failures in the same room and to admit their failures so that they can then go on to have a successful
psychological
life.
Comfort.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. So you think that Mitchell Pearce and Laurie Daly, in a sense, deserve each other?
They do. It's a support group. It's a word. Losers, yeah.
Well, it's very harsh because, not against Pearce, but it's certainly against Laurie because he's one of those guys that people want to like, don't they? I mean, he's a very good bloke from all accounts. He's just got a horrendous coaching record, and perhaps he should give it up.
And I think this is a move in the right direction for Laurie. He's not coaching here. He's just mentoring.
What does it mean to be a mentor to a halfback in rugby league? What are they doing on a day-to-day basis?
I think Laurie's providing with a lot of emotional guidance, explaining to him.
Reading his tarot cards.
Yeah, things like that. Telling him to, how to show respect to animals.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's good to keep him in line there. So in a way, he's sort of more like a wishy-washy mystic type.
Yeah, he's Mitchell Pearce's Dr. Phil or Dr. Oz. I always get those.
Oh, they're both charlatans. Yeah, it doesn't really matter which one you're talking about. Do you think this is the future for Laurie Daly? Do you think he has no future left in coaching per se? He will instead be forever resigned to going around being mentors to failed halfbacks?
I think it's an experiment that's worth seeing play out. Like, I'd love to actually send him up to Queensland to mentor Jonathan Thurston just to see if he could actually bring him down a peg or two.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah. Then the proof would be in the pudding then, wouldn't it?
Exactly.
All of a sudden, Jonathan Thurston lost all of his confidence and decided when the game was in the balance that he didn't have the balls to try to put the game away, then you'd know it was really Laurie Daly's fault the whole time.
I think it's a worthwhile experiment.
Well, the voluntary tackle is here with Wayne Bennett. Wayne, thanks for joining us.
Thanks.
Now, Wayne, what do you say to critics that suggest taking Matthew Lodge back is insane?
I think it's very unfair to Matt.
But he did have quite a violent rampage in New York there, though, didn't he?
Yeah, look, and that's been dealt with. I also think there's some positives out of that for us, and he's going to be a threatening presence on the field. They're just here to give him a second chance.
Okay, that might be fair enough. But we've also just received breaking news that you're also bringing Greg Bird back. Surely he's had too many chances.
Well, I don't know about that. He served his time.
Yeah, several years in prison, I believe.
Deserves a second chance.
How many chances has Greg Bird had, though?
I suppose, to be fair, it's probably pushing 14. but we don't see issue with that.
Wayne, I also understand that you've recently recruited from Sydney's underworld by taking on Salim Mahaja as your lead physio. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct.
What's the feeling there?
Look, I just don't think I can win with you guys. You know, I mean, I get criticised all the time for being predictable. Go out and try and do something outside the box, like bring a bit of enterprise, get criticised.
Okay, settle down, Wayne. But look, Ivan Milat is coming back to your club. What's he going
to
do?
We think Ivan's shown himself to be to have an incredible eye for talent.
Where will he be searching for that talent?
Oh, you know, Great Western Highway, the Hume Highway.
Okay, well, on that rather unsettling note, thanks for joining us, Wayne.
Yeah.
It's a massive English Super League sale. Every native Australian dickhead must go. We've got Todd Carneys in all sizes for under 30k. And if ordered in the next 15 minutes, we'll even throw in a Todd Carney water fountain free of charge. All Todd Carneys must go. We have fresh Willie Mason still in stock, budging in the south of France, going for less than the price of a Tony Grimaldi. All Willie Masons must go. Call in the next 2 hours and receive a free Joel Monaghan. We know there's only one of him, but that's too many in the UK. So that's right, all Joel Monaghans must go. It's the English Super League ex-Australian dickhead sale, valid for a short time only, but be fast, because thank Christ, stocks are fucking limited.
Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Now, very interesting news here, Xander. Sonny Bill Williams in the headlines again. He's never really far away from the headlines, let's face it. But this time, there's rumours circulating that he might make a late comeback for the Sydney Roosters in 2018, which I think has got a lot of people's noses out of joint, because the Roosters are already seen as a club that have basically bought every superstar in Australia. How have you seen that that bit of news?
Yeah, look, you know, obviously, as a dyed-in-the-wool Roosters fan, people might accuse me of some bias, but I do think that people are just beating a dead horse with this. The Roosters have never been caught for any sort of salary cap breach, and frankly, people forget just how much incredible talent we offloaded last year. I mean, you know, Mitchell Pearce, Aiden Guerra, these are championship players.
Michael Gordon.
Michael Gordon, exactly. You know, I mean,
no longer have Jackson Hastings. Remember that, listeners.
You know, Hastings in particular, you know, that must have freed up at least $4 million.
Anthony Mitchell's gone. I mean, a massive hole.
And you know, frankly, I think Sonny Bill, you know, he's late in his career. There's plenty of room for somebody like him. And not just Sonny Bill, actually.
Do you think there's a chance that the Roosters might be recruiting international stars as well? You've got a bit of inside mail on this, don't you?
Yeah, no, funnily enough, actually, I've actually heard that particularly with the money that Guerra and Pierce freed up, they're going to be looking to recruit Super Bowl MVP Nick Foles.
Oh, okay. He's the guy who carves it up in the NFL.
That's right. You know, I mean, he wants to try his hand at rugby league. He's won everything in the NFL. Mm. And it's not just him. LeBron James, a bit tired of winning in the NBA, wants to try his hand with a globally recognised brand like the Roosters.
I hear LeBron James is very good mates of Nick Politis.
He is. You know, Nick bought him his first car.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's a very little known fact. Nick Politis, not only does he own that club, he actually owns the NBA, doesn't he?
He does.
Yes.
Yeah.
He likes to keep a lot of his assets under wraps. But so is that it for the Roosters? Do you think in 2018? Surely they've hit the cap by now.
No. Look, you know, I mean, those two probably match out Guerra, but you know, you've still got Gordon. And to fill the spot left by Gordon and all the money that he took in, they've recruited Lionel Messi.
Oh, Lionel Messi, yeah. The Argentine soccer star.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay, will his skill set translate across to rugby league?
I think, well, he's confident that it will. Like, he's been willing to take a slightly reduced contract, but he just wants to try his hand because, you know, he's just so good at playing soccer that he's gotten bored and he just wants to try his hand at rugby league.
I actually heard that the skill they're looking for is his ability to evade tax. Well, that brings us to the end of the show, and for those 7 people who have hung on, we certainly congratulate your ability to stick with it.
Thanks, Mum.
Cheers, Xander's Mum. But that's it for another week. Before we go, we like to leave our listeners with the impression that we look forward. We like to be sort of predictive, don't we, Xander?
We do.
Where we can, anyway. So would you like to leave listeners with at least one bold prediction for round one of the NRL?
I think, interestingly, particularly the first game, the Dragons v Broncos, will be quite a telling one because of the controversy around Lodge. I actually suspect the Dragons will get up and Lodge will have a bit of trouble early in the season. I don't think he'll be that threatening on the field.
Do you think he'll be booed by the crowd, Lodge?
I'm pretty sure he will be, and rightly so, to be honest.
Yeah. I actually think that game will be interesting. I think that the Dragons will probably do them as well. I think the Dragons will be a mover this year.
Mm.
And I also think the Broncos might slide a little bit, so...
Yeah, I think... Like, I know Broncos fans who like are almost at the point of turning from the club over this. So, I think it's a worrying sign for them that, you know, what was supposed to be a strong no dickheads culture that they've taken somebody like this in.
Mm. To be fair, they employed Justin Hodges for years. Well, when it comes to my bold prediction, I think that the Newcastle Knights, despite their trial form, will have a very good game on the field in round one. I think they'll be very competitive.
I hope so.
Yeah, and I also think that Sean Kenny-Dowell will have an amazing year.
Is he playing for now?
The Knights.
Oh, fuck. I don't know.
Yeah, they got a whole team.
Yeah, right. Fuck, we did.
And for a real long-range prediction, Xander, who do you think's going to take out the title?
Look, I'm going to go with a real dark horse. I'm going to pick the Warriors.
Okay, so you're a dickhead. And did you think Premiership or Wooden Spoon then? Because I think they're a genuine shot for the Wooden Spoon this year.
Yeah, I was actually going Wooden Spoon.
Oh, okay, cool. Different kind of title, I guess. Well, thanks for joining us. For those interested in consuming this kind of news in the written form, you can also tune into www.thefaultreport.com.au, where 9 out of 10 readers can't tell the difference. But until next time, just do what Matthew Lodge wouldn't do and stay on the straight and narrow. Good night.
My favourite racist joke, for example, is what's black and screams?
What?
Stevie Wonder answering the iron.